gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Guess who won the rematch between me and New York already?
Uh-oh.
Ain't going to be no rematch. No mas, no mas.
Oh, no.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, barely live from New York. Hey, Chris.
What?
Guess how long my flight was from L.A. to New York was last night.
1,100 hours.
Almost. I was on a plane for 9 hours. Shouldn't I be in friggin' New Zealand now? Shouldn't I be in Peru? Somewhere. Yeah, Tahiti. Something.
No, but you were in Richmond.
You know what? You got to get the canned applause ready because you got to give it up for the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Okay.
Last night?
Yeah.
Closest try yet. Good try. Nice try. Thunderstorms. Yes. Lightning. We were, you know how when you don't land in the city that you're supposed to land in right away, that's bad news. But
yeah.
You don't land in actually the city that's on your ticket right away. That's not a good flight.
Wow.
See, this is God's revenge for me talking about Screaming Baby Airlines and Chatty Toddler.
Oh, no.
See, there were not a Screaming Baby or Chatty Toddler to be found. And yet, so there was severe weather in New York last night, as it turns out. And the pilot, I love, he likes to point it out to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ladies and gentlemen, you can see there's fairly severe thunderstorms and lightning. And like, yeah, I've seen the movies. Okay, I've seen the Buddy Holly. I got it. What, Patsy Cline? I know! It is. It's the movie thing where it's the scene, you know, you're going to be on an island with a volleyball. It's that scene. You're like, yeah.
Wilson!
Wilson! Yeah.
Oh, no.
This was not looking good. So, we were delayed, I don't know, 9 hours. I was plain. I get in it. So we go to Richmond,
mm-hmm.
Sit there. Really no information of any kind, just sitting in Richmond for, I don't know.
Richmond's a lovely city, however. Well, that wasn't...
not when you're trapped on a plane on a runway! With the same people you've been with for 9 hours. Anyway, mm-hmm. Anywho.
Yes.
Yeah, and then because I'm in New York, as you know, Chris, to be named Radio's Woman of the Year by Talkers Magazine. You see, for once, our syndicator decided to treat me with the respect to which I've become entitled.
Yes.
And they actually sent a car, because usually they just say, hump it in a cab,
yeah.
Slut. That's what they normally say. Radio slag.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, oh, well, isn't this nice? They sent a car. So the driver was an hour late because he was at the wrong terminals. So I got in at midnight. The driver didn't show up until around 1. A lot of screaming on a dying cell phone and, you know, accents I couldn't entirely understand.
Of course.
About where the driver actually was. And, yes. So I got to, the guy who owns the show's house who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Yep.
And, 1:30-ish, 2 in the morning.
Oh.
Don't I sound good? Anyway, I'm a professional. Darn it, I'm Radio's Woman of the Year. Oh, the nervous breakdown has only proceeded apace.
Broadway is going to have to go for booze and dope if you're going to cope with this.
Oh, God. All right, so I'm... Oh, by the way, sexy liberal John Fugel saying, the ecclesiastical mook...
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't just talk about the Bible, he lives it. He is actually with his mommy. His mom is... not doing well, and so
yeah.
He's down there, and we wish him well and love him and miss him. He
Absolutely.
Normally would be here with me in the New York studio for all 3 hours, but he is down with his mommy, so thoughts and prayers down there. But as you know, the Sexy Liberal Tour,
yes,
which is the avalanche which will kill me, this trip was a close try.
Yeah. And this trip has nothing to do with the Sexy Liberal Tour, and it's killing
you. No, but I've got Minneapolis next weekend for Sexy Liberal, then we've got Chicago the weekend after that.
Yep.
And I just happened to pick up my soundbite list, and it appears there's several more announcements.
Holy crap.
Yes, and as you know, by the way, this is what happens is you just wear me down into a nub, into a shadow of my former self, and then I essentially give up any core principles I ever had.
Yeah.
You're aware of that.
I of course I'm aware of that.
Yes. So, what did I say? Because several of these shows have sold out immediately, at Los Angeles sold out, I think, since, 4 or 5 days for a date that's 5 months in advance. When
yep.
is that? October 22nd?
Yes, it is.
Yes. And so, of course, I was getting relentless pressure to add a second show. And I'm like, are you trying to kill me? I cannot possibly. There's no way. All right, hit the promo.
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heaping helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. The only one we're killing more than me is the sexy liberal promo elf, Shano.
Yeah, by the way, he's let me know that he's taking the next few days off.
Yes, he and I will be just somewhere with a hot cold compress on our heads.
Yes.
Drunk. All right.
As we know, Shano loves his rum.
By the way, Los Angeles, tickets went on sale just about 10 minutes ago. So
yes.
Just hurry.
Get it now.
Because I don't want any more of the whiny, cryy emails. Those are just from, you know, friends and stuff. I'm like, I can't do anything. All right, so Los Angeles second show, we added a Friday show. The Saturday show sold out. Friday show just went on sale moments ago.
Yep.
So please get that. And all right. What's that you say, Chris?
What?
After caving on that and doing two shows in one weekend?
Yeah.
Will I be done in October?
Oh, hells no.
Oh, hell no. Get it.
Okay, and it's there.
San Francisco, be still your hearts.
I left my heart.
Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming out to you.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco, your favorite progressive hotties are here to recruit you.
It does fit well with San Francisco. It's very diverse.
On October 29th, Stephanie Miller adjacent at the Broadway of the Bay Area, the Orpheum Theater.
Somebody did something big to get us here.
Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. Pacific and will be available online at shnsf.com by calling 888-746-1799 or by visiting the Orpheum Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco.
Every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco.
Don't fault this show for shaking things up.
Hey!
Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
Yeah, we are very excited. Green 960, our fabulous station up there, we're all very excited. We're excited about every show, for God's sakes. But, yes, we've been getting much quick chill pressure on the San Francisco date, so that's very exciting. October 29th. And Orpheum is an amazing theater.
It is.
So, yeah, it took a while to put that together. All right. All right. Did we say there? Can I take a nap after this segment? Did we say there were three major announcements? We are going to have, you know, guests and show and stuff like that.
Yes, we are. Ari Berman's coming up later on.
Yes, just a few minutes from the Nation. We have a lot of stuff to get to. I have Wiener news out of New York.
Oh.
I've got the hilarious news that Newt Gingrich's whole staff appears to have quit.
Yes, that's awesome.
And can you believe I still have one with as bitchy and cranky as I've got? Really? Oh, heavens. All right. So, yes, ma'am. One more in July. Yes,
Tucson, looking to light up your Sunshine Factory? The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to set your mind aglow with their famous brand of progressive comedy.
Arizona, we want to dance.
Happiness, Arizona, where a man can walk down the street and have himself a drink without having to check the mirror and see who's gunning after him.
On July 9th at Tucson's Centennial Hall, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Talk Radio's Woman of the Year, Stephanie Miller, will entertain you with their deep liberal thoughts and comedy so wide it could fill the Grand Canyon.
We just want to hear the truth.
Tickets are available online at uapresents.org by calling 520-621-3341 or by visiting the Centennial Hall box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Centennial Hall on July 9th. Sexy Liberals of Tucson, get ready to show those progressive papers.
Yeah!
Yeah, baby. All right. All right, I'm just going to lay here in a little heap. Oh, look who's here with my bagel, Chris. It's
who?
The guy who owns the show who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. Let me see if I can get a microphone working there.
Did he bring you some breakfast meats?
No, that's not it.
No?
Hang on.
Oh,
try again.
Lord.
Ah, do you know how it is when I run my own microphones? Try again.
No, it's not.
Good. All right, hang on. Go ahead. Try again. See how this happens when I'm running my own board?
This is wonderful
no.
radio.
Yeah. No.
Okay, let's do this during the break. We have to take a break.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, thank you.
You know what? I got lost coming. You know, I used to work here every day, Chris,
yes.
When I lived in New York.
Yes.
Oops, I turned my own microphone off.
No, you're on.
Are you there? No, I turned you off. Okay, I'm back.
Oh, boy.
All right. You know, at least the show's going well so far, don't you think?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I got lost getting here, so you're lucky I'm even here because they, you know how bagel places are in New York. They're just because it used to be right next to the bagel place, so I didn't know where I worked, and I had no bagel.
Oh no.
Yes.
So yeah, you need food.
Yeah, so I'm clearly I need food and I need to sober up.
And, yeah, all no, right. You need more drinks is what you need.
Yes. All right. lots of big breaking political news. And Ari Berman of the Nation. 16 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for
Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York this hour, brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie.
Another host bites the dust.
Yes, that's so.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you okay there, Skippy? Aw.
I am, yes, I'm in New York to get the Radio's Woman of the Year Award from Talkers Magazine. Oh, so you know, any day is really great that, you know, it starts with me having had an hour of sleep after a 9-hour flight from Los Angeles and weather delays and diversion to Richmond.
Yes.
When it ends with me eating ice cream with Sean Hannity. You know, everything will be okay because it's the big Hannity friggin' ice cream party.
And
we
you
go
can't,
to every year.
You can't, like, catch a nap today. Your day is pretty much full of stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. You're going to be.
And then I got to do that there Talk Rumble tomorrow, you know, that they have at the radio convention where you get a bunch of right wing douche nozzles screaming at you for about an hour.
Wait a minute.
So that'll be. Your things are looking up.
You're the queen of this event this weekend because you're Woman of the Year. Why
and
do they
you
make you
else?
Participate in this Rumble thing?
Because, you know, just to keep me humble.
Oh.
and then as you know, I'm going to have to deal with seeing Laura Ingraham and then the horror that will be
mm-hmm.
because of you and Jim. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the patented Laura Ingraham orgasm as heard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well,
now I'm going to have to deal with that embarrassment.
Jim and I will do that next hour when he's here.
I'm just going to say you both have serious drug problems.
That's what you get for not drug
liberal,
testing.
I keep you employed. Exactly. I don't drug test. I'm so sorry, Laura. I don't know what the hell. I can't control them. Something like that.
Uh-huh.
All right. Get the butter commercial music. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the guy who owns the show who's trying to kill me seriously for the life insurance money. The lovely and talented Ron Hartenbaum. Hi, Ron.
Good morning, Steph.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't he sound creepy?
Mm-hmm.
Does he seriously sound creepier if we cast a voice guy?
Good morning, Steph.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Why are you trying to work me to death? That's all we want to know.
The life insurance money, of course.
See, but that he has a plan, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just work me to death with the Sexy Liberal Show, and then, you know, by that time, Yeah, I will. I'm in debtor's prison. So well, then the show will be paid off, and then it'll kill me for the life insurance.
Yeah.
Listen, honestly, I was helping for Mother Nature last night. There was such massive lightning and thunder showers.
They canceled a concert in Central Park, Chris.
Right. Wait a minute. Diana Ross performed in a blinding thunderstorm.
Well, that's the see the damn kids today. These peas. They're no Diana Ross.
Oh, it was the Black Eyed Peas?
They can't perform.
Black Eyed Peas, yes, amongst others. Taylor Swift. It was supposed to be fantastic.
Oh, they're all softies.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when the lightning strikes, the city
there was lightning all around Diana Ross in the 80s, and she still performed.
Exactly. Mahogany was out there humping it in the rain.
That's right.
Damn kids today. My day! Our pop stores performed when there was moisture!
Nonetheless, Chris, the bottom line is when my phone rang and Stephanie Miller's name came up, I realized, wow, the lightning didn't hit the plane. She's alive. She's on the ground somewhere.
Yeah. He always sounds vaguely disappointed when I call. He's like, when I call, he goes,
you're still here?
That means no life insurance. All right, well. it's always a very warm welcome for me.
Oof.
Okay. All right. So, welcome to my life, kids. All right.
But he put you up in stately Hartenbaum Manor, though.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
Yes. Where the lovely and talented Mrs. Hartenbaum has just had a little foot surgery, I believe.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yes, so let me just share with you, Chris, if you think dealing with Stephanie at 2 a.m. in the morning was something, try dealing with a woman on Percocet that gets up every 3 hours.
Yes. And that's what I was greeted to after my quite lengthy evening.
Oh, boy. And, of course,
boy.
Stephanie knows how easy it is to navigate New York City with a broken foot.
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Damn kids these days. Lived through all of this. All right. So we have Ari Berman from The Nation coming up. We have Angelo Carasone of Stop Beck, whom we love.
Yep.
And I guess his work is through here.
No,
oh,
God, no.
We have to talk to him about that Beck is doing. Did you see this? He's going to ask people to pay to watch him do his TV show on the Internet.
Yeah, good luck with that.
For 2 hours. Like, just crazy little flashlight under the chin, like little crazy conspiracy show that you can pay for on the interwebs for 2 hours. Won't that be fun?
Oof. Sippy Cup actually does a show for him on his little internet network.
Oh, does it? Does she?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, whom we love, we just talked to for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Love her.
Gloria Allred's daughter, Lisa Bloom, who is an award-winning journalist, also joins us on the show today.
Yep.
Chris asked me, am I prepared for any of that?
Are you prepared for any of that, Stephanie?
No.
Nah.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I will be by the time it happens, let's assume.
Oh, well, you have 4 minutes down here at the bottom of the hour to get ready for Ari Berman. So.
Terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The breaking news out of the Republican 2012, what you call it? I say the breaking news out of the...
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know when I travel without my box, I'm already cranky. I'm already without my box, I'm cranky, and now this.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Ron confirmed how cranky it was. I can't believe I still have a senior staff. Anyway, the breaking news, Newt Gingrich's senior campaign staff resigns en masse. Are things not going well? Did I miss something?
I wouldn't have thought that.
Gingrich press spokesman Rick Tyler told the AP that he's resigned along with the, I guess that was his last statement.
Yes.
Okay, I gotta go. That he's resigned along with campaign manager Rob Johnson, senior strategist and aides in the early primary states. Gingrich tells reporter, I have nothing to say because I have no spokesman. Because I am a horrible man and no one wants to work for me. The departing staffer cited differences over the direction of the campaign. See, Newt was hoping to continue to drive it into the ground, and they were thinking maybe another direction. But, yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
I've built my career on a certain image, and you have no idea what I go through to maintain it. The workouts, the lotions, pretending I wasn't fourth runner-up at the Miss Teen Bicentennial pageant.
That's a little too eerily accurate.
Uh-oh.
And it was actually fourth runner-up and Miss Congeniality.
America's Junior Miss?
Yes, America's Junior Miss. Lockport, New York, 1970. Thank you. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. I'd tell you what time it is, but they've taken my giant clock now.
Well, about this time,
it
it's usually 34 after.
Oh, it's 34 minutes after the hour. Well, things are just really going splendidly thus far from the New York broadcast, aren't they? I finally figured out which buttons are which. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, and we have a full slate of guests coming up. John Fugelsang will check in by phone, hopefully, in hour number three. We are joined now by one of our very personal favorites, Ari Berman of The Nation. Good morning, Ari.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Big Apple.
Oh, thank you.
It's quite a journey over here.
Yes, that was quite a, you know, it's, I always think when it's a 9-hour flight from Los Angeles, it's always, it's more fun.
Yeah. You feel like you might as well just go to London at that point.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to be waking up somewhere with thatched roof and being able to see fish through my coffee table if I'm going to be
go
on a plane
Paris.
That long.
Yeah, Paris is nice.
Yes, exactly. Paris is nice this time of year.
I mean, all liberals would prefer to be in France anyway, right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Ari, I was just talking about, you know, I'm not a political expert like you are, but someone's entire campaign staff resigning is generally not seen as a good sign. Right,
well, I guess I could say politics 101 is that if you've already gotten in hot water for having a $500,000 line of credit at Tiffany's, it's probably not a good idea to go on a Greek cruise after that. I mean, that just seems kind of like basic common sense. And so I don't think the Newt Gingrich campaign was all that serious to begin with, and this mass resignation, which is kind of an unprecedented nature, further validates my suspicions and probably your suspicions from day one.
Right, right. Well, and now this is unusual too. I mean, I know it's quite a shock to you any day that Mitt Romney is caught in some sort of inconsistency or flip flop. However, he defended himself against questions about why he opposed the bailout from GM and Chrysler 2 years ago. I mean, that's one that's tough for them to spin, isn't it? I mean, how can you not say that's been a huge success?
Well, exactly. I mean, literally the Obama administration saved the American auto industry. The bailout, I think because it's called a quote-unquote bailout and people don't understand it, is still somewhat unpopular. But the fact is that bailout, the auto industry bailout, did work by any empirical measure. Mitt Romney had an op-ed in the New York Times that said around this time, let Detroit go bankrupt. Now, I know from experience that people don't write their own headlines for the New York Times, but yet the substance of Mitt Romney's piece was absolutely that another bailout would not be a good idea. And so this really hurts Romney. It not only hurts Romney in terms of the flip-flopper charge, but it hurts Romney because he wanted to make a very strong push in Michigan. Obviously, his father was governor there, and this is one of these states, these Obama states, that he felt like he could flip from blue back to red. But with this kind of inconsistent rhetoric and basically saying that he wanted the American auto industry to go under, that'd be something that's hard, that's going to be hard for him to spin, not only in Michigan, but in the rest of the industrial Midwest.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. How do you spin saving an entire industry? I mean, I don't know how many we're thinking, at least a million jobs. You know, they're in profit now, paying us back, and to try to spin that is something that was, I mean, it literally is like, it doesn't matter what he does, right, Ari? It's like, well, he should have shot Bin Laden in the right eye. It's like, what?
Yeah, and you the know? Contrast between how the Obama administration did the auto bailout and how the Bush administration did the financial bailout was really, really striking. I mean, remember, the financial bailout was basically three sentences that Hank Paulson gave to Congress before they reworked it with basically unchecked authority and very few strings attached. The Obama administration's process during the auto bailout was very deliberative, very thorough. It was unpopular when they did it, but I think it was the right thing to do. And it's the kind of thing that I think they can point to as an element and as an example of their competence, which is now we've seen that the GOP line is changing. It's not that Obama is a radical leftist, it's that he's also a failing radical leftist because yeah. The economy is not good. But I think the Obama administration is going to counter, well, what's your plan? Would you have made things better or worse? And certainly the economy makes it a tougher position. But the GOP field is still relatively weak, and I think Obama still has the advantage.
Right, right. Well, you know, let's talk about the GOP's misstep on Medicare in particular, because I was reading a headline. I didn't expect to see, maybe you didn't, a Dem see chance for payback in 2012. 6 months ago, one thing seemed certain about the 2012 election. While the White House and Senate might be up for grabs, the House surely wouldn't. The new Republican majority seemed too big to erase in a single night. That was then, thanks to the outcome, they're saying, of obviously the New York 26, the resistance the Republican-led plan to overhaul Medicare, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are some people literally even saying the House might be in play. What do you think?
Well, the House could very well be in play because, as Steve Israel, the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, has said 97 districts held by Republicans are more moderate than the district in New York 26 that Kathy Hochul won. So that's a huge playing field to have four Democrats in the 2012 election. Now, that doesn't mean that they're all going to go the same way. That was kind of a perfect storm situation where the Ryan plan was still fresh in people's mind. It has receded a little bit, but it gives Democrats an opening that they didn't previously have. And not only that, it gives Obama an opening with older voters who have not been very crazy about candidate Obama and then President Obama. So it gives them an opportunity they didn't have previously if they use it wisely, because if Democrats agree to some sweeping Medicare cuts as part of any debt ceiling agreement, they will forfeit their ability to talk about this issue and to use it to their advantage.
You know, I agree with you, Ari. A couple of polls I saw that I thought were hopeful. CNN poll revealed, 6 out of 10 voters opposed the Ryan plan. Same survey found the number of those who believe the GOP control of the House is good for the country is in decline, dropping from 52% to 39%. Margin in November, so 44 now in terms of, you know, who's better in control of the House. That and the one I just saw today, 6 in 10, Americans blame the wars for most of the national debt. So I think people are paying attention, right? I mean, they really are paying attention.
Yeah, people are paying attention, and the advantage that Obama has on Medicare over the GOP is very similar to the advantage that Bill Clinton had on Medicare compared to the Republicans in 1996, which Clinton used to his advantage very skillfully in that election. The contrast is clear now. I mean, Democrats want to protect Medicare and Republicans want a voucher system. That contrast, though, as I said earlier, could get very muddied if there's some sort of grand bargain that includes major Medicare cuts. I liked what Nancy Pelosi said, which is, we have a plan. It's called Medicare. And basically, you can fix it and you could tweak it over time, but is now really the time, at a time of incredible economic insecurity, is now really the time to drastically change one of the most successful social safety net programs. Sorry, that's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I think the American people pretty clearly don't want that changed right now.
Well, I mean, it just seems to me, you know, you have the reaction to the Ryan plan that the people do generally think that the Republicans are going about it completely wrong. You know, that cutting their Medicare and giving rich people more tax cuts is not the way to go and is not the way certainly to get the debt down. So if you're going to start screaming about the debt, get out of the wars and stop giving rich people tax cuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a pretty simple scenario. I mean, the problem for the president is that the GOP is not willing to consider either of those things. Not willing to consider ending the wars, and they're not willing to consider raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans, and then it becomes all cut, cut, cut. I think the Republicans realized pretty quickly after they passed the Ryan budget this was terrible politics, and not necessarily very good policy either. And that's why they're begging the Obama administration to make Medicare cuts, to make sweeping Medicare cuts as part of any debt ceiling deal. And I also think, quite frankly, I've been thinking more about this in recent days, that one of the reasons I think that Republicans are insisting on such big spending cuts is because they know that it might slow the economy down in the short term and that will hurt President Obama politically. So I'm not even sure when they talk about these spending cuts that they have the best interests of the country at heart. I think they're doing everything they can to try to hurt the president politically. And I think, I mean, it just seems to me common sense that the president would resist anything that would hurt him in the near or short term politically and be bad for the American economy to boot.
Well, and, you know, Ari, you've done a great job on just sort of the ongoing obstructionism, whether it's, you know, you wrote about them blocking another well-qualified Obama nominee, the bank lobby versus Elizabeth Warren. I mean, whoever the president appoints, whatever the president's idea is, they're against it, right?
No, and it's really gotten to be a crisis in the Senate right now. I mean, 20% of Obama nominees have not gotten a vote in the Senate or have been blocked by GOP senators. I mean, that's a staggering number of very well-qualified nominees. You got a Nobel Prize winner who can't get on the Federal Reserve. You got a very acclaimed judge who can't get on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. You've got an incredibly acclaimed and smart woman in Elizabeth Warren who can't be confirmed to lead the very bureau whose idea it was that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau be founded. And so really, I mean, the Obama administration keeps thinking that they can placate the GOP. And it's pretty clear that the GOP cannot be placated. A new study came out today showing the Senate has spent a third of its time essentially doing nothing and blocking Obama nominees. So things have completely ground to a standstill right now. Legislation is difficult to get passed because of Republican control of the House. But there's no reason that Obama can't use his power to do recess appointments and put his own people in there in the Senate and really start talking about this in the same way that Republicans back in 2005 talked about the crisis of not appointing judicial nominees and almost forced a nuclear option. I mean, I think basically we're at this point for President Obama where there's so many unfilled vacancies in very, very important positions on the court, financial regulators, et cetera, key economic positions. He's got to get his own people in there or else the government won't be able to function.
Right.
You know, since I am obviously in New York, I'm looking at the New York Post, and Anthony Weiner has told him he has no plans of resigning. What did that surprise you? What are you thinking? How this is going to play out?
It doesn't surprise me, and I don't feel very strongly that he should resign. I don't know what your guys' feeling is on this, but my feeling is, you know, it's David Vitter who admitted to sleeping with a prostitute, which is illegal. Didn't resign, then I don't see why Anthony Weiner, who did something that by all indications was very creepy and weird, but not necessarily illegal, I'm not sure why he should resign either. I mean, other than it just reveals an incredibly stupid and bad judgment. And there's no doubt this has become a major, major distraction for the Democratic Party, although basically at this point, I think the American people have concluded that essentially all politicians are creeps, and it could happen to anyone from either party. At least Weiner was not the moralizing family values sort. If anything, he was more of the obnoxious loudmouth. So I think that the New York tabloids are having a field day with this, but I don't feel very strongly about what he should do.
Yeah, I see. So you think he really may ride it out, huh?
His district is going to disappear anyway. There is going to be redistricting in New York. They are going to eliminate his district. If you're him, why are you going to leave if your district's going to get eliminated anyway? I think he's thinking that, you know, if John Ensign can wait this out, if David Vitter can wait this out, he may be able to wait it out as well. And if he wants to have any chance of remaining in public office in the near future, he's going to want to try to weather the storm.
Yep, I hear you. Ari, always such a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time for us. Ari Berman from The Nation Magazine.
It.
All right. Thank you, sir. See you next time. There he goes, Ari Berman of The Nation. All right. So lots to get to. Can't wait to talk to Angela I always say his name wrong. Carazone of Stop Beck.
Yes. Angelo. Not Angela.
Yes.
I think you said Angela.
Yes. I didn't mean that.
Okay. It's Angelo.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Much more to come. 47 minutes after the hour, I have my clock back. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Believe me, this is so deeply warped, even I get it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ron in San Francisco, where tickets go on sale for the Sexy Liberal Show in about 8 minutes. Hello, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning, Steph. I just have a question. When you're accepting the Woman of the Year Award,
yes,
are you going to revive your Kate Hepburn impression?
I may dust that off.
That's the only time you could use it.
Yes. I could talk about my start in the traffic copter in Buffalo, New York. Yes, exactly.
Well, it looks a little backed up on the Chautauqua Expressway this morning. You're going to have a long ride.
Thank you, Ron, for that idea. I may do that. It may do that, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, have you written your speech yet?
No, don't be ridiculous.
Okay, so then bust out the Katharine Hepburn.
It's hours from now.
I know.
All right. By the by, one of our, you know, we figured he'd have a lot of free time in that he has already stopped Beck.
Yeah.
Angelo Carasone of StopBeck.com joins us now. Angelo, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I figured you're just sitting around with cobwebs coming off of you now.
Since
you
have a feeling.
I was saying, though, earlier, I have to get your take on the... So he's doing this thing where you can watch a two-hour version of his TV show on the Internet and pay for it. How's that going to go for him, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that that's actually not the only thing he's doing. I mean, I keep calling him Spaceballs 2 because that's effectively what he's done. I mean, he's hyper-branding. He's got Glenn Beck the clothing line, Glenn Beck the coupon service, Glenn Beck the online video service where he's going to have his own TV show, and then he has Glenn Beck the cartoon, which is going to explain history to people in cartoon version. So this Auschwitz trip is actually, it's kind of nasty what he's doing here. See, he starts.
Yeah, tell us about that, because I thought you were referring first to the Israel trip, but what's the Auschwitz thing?
Oh, well, the Israel trip is at the end of August, and that's a big rally in Jerusalem, but this Auschwitz trip is kind of what he's doing is. He needs to rack up subscribers for his new online podcast. And so in order to do that, I mean, he has to obviously promote it. So what he is doing between the time that he leaves Fox News and when the actual podcast launches is trying to get people to sign up. And one of the things he's doing is taking a trip to Auschwitz and taking this tour, which he's going to broadcast live, but only for those people that sign up for his new TV show and pay, of course, in advance.
Classy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely exploiting, this very sensitive site in order to self-promote. It's rather shameless, and it's contemptible in many ways,
yeah.
But it's Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I mean, it really, it is kind of stunning. So he wants people to pay $5,000 a piece to attend his Restoring Courage rally in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and exactly. And what he has done is, you know, there's only his select travel agencies that will be providing these tickets, and you have to basically buy these enormously expensive packages in order to go to Israel and protect the Jews from being pushed into the sea. And I'm not saying that's in a sarcastic way, although it sounds
right.
I mean, that's what Glenn Beck is saying. He is saying that if you do not go to this rally, the Jews will be pushed into the sea.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, hit the scary music, because, you know, Angela, this is, I mean, the headline is actually, is Beck's Summer of Fear a ploy for his post-Fox career? I mean, this is what he does, right?
Yeah.
Over and over. You're absolutely right. All it's built on is fear.
Indeed.
According to reports, it says, let's see, so he's done June 30th. If you've been paying attention to him lately, this seems like a particularly bad time for him to lose his Fox megaphone since, according to him, quote-unquote, we are now approaching the most dangerous 120 days since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
He said, when I leave Fox, you will see, we will see. Please stay in touch. Please listen to every program. Things are going to happen like that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sort of... Beck has expanded on impending horrors this summer, often in the context of his latest self-aggrandizing spectacle, as you were saying, the Jerusalem thing. We must lock arms this summer to defeat the great powers of the earth and beyond that have lined against us. Israel may be destroyed by Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Angelo, the very gates of hell will open against Restoring Courage attendees, who will open the very gates of hell in response. Something wicked this way comes, and I think it's coming this summer. He's like a bad horror movie promo, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is, actually. And before what inspired this rally, or what he claims inspired this rally, is that he saw the finger of God.
Uh-huh.
He didn't specify which one, I should point out. But
we can all guess.
And this rally is actually supposed to be the arm of God. You see, God gave him the finger, and then Beck was then supposed to extract the entire arm. And it sounds like I'm being really, really snarky and sarcastic, but this is actually what he is telling people. I mean, he's asking people seriously to sit down with their families and think about whether or not they're willing to hide a Jew behind a wall in their house. I mean, this is what's going on. In Glenbeckistan.
Yeah, well, that's because he said he's been giving the gift, the blessing, or the curse that he can see slightly over the horizon, Angelo, and we can't, apparently.
That's right, that's right.
And
this is from the same guy that just a few months ago was condemned by 400 rabbis from across the political and religious spectrum because of his repeated sort of anti-Semitic smears and, you know, constant uses of Nazi Holocaust imagery and, of course, comparing Reform Judaism to radicalized Islam, to terrorism. That's what Glenn Beck did, and it was widely condemned. I mean, this is the same guy.
He can see over the horizon, and for only $4.95 a month, you can see with him, apparently, or $5,000 if you want to go to Jerusalem.
And, of course, guys, you've got to be watching in your official Glenn Beck clothing line.
That's right.
All right, Angelo, out of time. Thank you so much. Great as always. StopBeck.com. Right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay.
Yay!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on almost 0 hours of sleep. And I'm drunk still from the plane. I was on a plane 9 hours.
9 hours?
Nine? Yes. And now, a warning about traveling during weather periods.
Ow. Did you drink straight out of the little airplane bottles?
No, but I did order two at once. And
oh,
the guy
you did?
Next to me laughed. I'm like, could I have two, please? And when we had our delays, like, yeah, you should order three. I was like, yeah. And Jim and I have had this problem before. When you don't land in the city that's on your ticket, right away it's really not a good trip.
No,
you're really
yeah.
not off to a good start.
It was all downhill from there.
Went to Richmond, Jim. How about that?
Mm. Richmond's a lovely city. However, yeah. that wasn't your final destination.
No. That's where I was trapped on a runway for several hours. Because of a thunderstorm in New York City. But I'm here now. I'm here on a couple of hours of sleep. Hello.
Diverted you to Toronto, and you could have done it from the CBC, like we did that one time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, that's right. You guys went to Toronto.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she made me go on the air, even though I was sick, even though I was throwing up. But
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. And then the other time was we landed in another city, and then we had to drive through a hailstorm. And
yes.
That's when you pulled the parking brake out entirely.
That's when we had landed by the Mayo Clinic. And, the parking light. Parking brake light was on, and I thought, oh, I'm going to pull over and check this and see what's going on with that.
And you did.
And I engaged the parking brake, and, oh, okay, all right, I guess the light was faulty then. So I pulled the lever to disengage the parking brake, and the whole handle, and,
yes.
oh, dear, the whole thing came out, yeah.
And that's when the officer arrived.
Yes, in the middle of a hailstorm.
We were
right.
Oh, boy. Yes. All right. So it was that kind of trip. Hello. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Yes. Lots of exhausting, explosive, big announcements today.
Yes.
Because I have been worn down to a tiny nub, and so I'll just agree to anything. Not that I had many core principles to start with.
You're like an eraser that's been used just a few too many times.
Yeah.
You're down
yes.
to the metal.
Yeah. yeah. You're scraping the paper with the metal.
All right. But the good news is, you see, we sold out to Los Angeles, and I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 days for a date that's 5 months from now, October 22nd, day Saturday night.
Yep.
So I said, by no means will I add another show, a Friday show, even though I live in L.A., because it's just too much. I'm exhausted, and I cannot possibly cue promo.
Yet,
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heaping helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
I get it, sloppy seconds.
Although technically this show would be the first and the Saturday show would be the seconds,
yes.
the sloppy seconds.
Exactly. Hit that sexy music. Yeah, and by the way, they went on tickets went on sale like an hour ago, and if history is any guide.
Get them now.
Yes. We've already sold, I think, a few hundred group tickets and things, so seriously, not hyperbolizing, hurry and get your tickets. And then San Francisco goes on sale. When is that? Oh, 10 a.m. Pacific today.
That's right.
Yeah,
city's
October
on
29th.
Sale. Wow. That's a bargoon.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah. Ooh.
October 29th show, San Francisco just announced this morning, on sale 10 a.m. That will sell out quickly. Get those. And Tucson, Arizona just added July 9th. Get those tickets as well. Just to give you the whole schedule, the real hurry is Minneapolis next. Those may be almost gone. Next Saturday is up next. Minneapolis, then Chicago, June 25th. Then we've got Tucson July 9th, Boston July 16th, Santa Fe sold out. That's August 6th, sorry. Detroit August 20th.
What, no show in Sheboygan?
Sheboygan. Seattle, October 1st, that's already sold out, sorry. Los Angeles just added October 21st and October 22nd, that's sold out. Okay, but to 21st, there's still tickets. Go, go, go.
Go,
Austin, November 12th, Buffalo, November 19th. That's all I know so far, but I'm told there'll be more announcements next week.
You know, if you go to your Sexy Liberal Facebook page, they've announced some dates that we haven't even announced on the air yet.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
huh? Boy.
Yeah, a lot of the announcements are apparently news to me as well.
Yes.
Really? I'll have to go there and see what...
We just have to run dead air for the radio show and just do road shows for the radio.
Yeah, apparently.
Life. Yes, another southwestern city has been announced on the Facebook page.
Wow.
Oh? Hold, please. Everybody hold. While Mama checks her own... What? Oh, all right. Okay, let's...
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm fine.
All right.
You know, Jim, I'm in the land of Wiener here, as you know.
Yes.
I might be able to see that up close if I play my cards right. Hmm. Give me Anthony Wiener. This was Anthony Wiener and a New York Post reporter yesterday, I believe. Representative Anthony.
You're not planning on resigning.
I'm not. I betrayed a lot of people, and I know it, and I'm trying to get back to work now, and... You know, try to make amends to my constituents and, of course, to my family, of course. As I've said when I spoke at the press conference on Monday, that I, you know, change inappropriate things with people, and, you know, I think that I've now got to deal with those consequences. But, you know, I was completely honest on Monday after I hadn't been for a while.
I'm sorry, what was that? That last part?
I said I was completely honest on Monday after I had not been for a while.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just a little bit. And then Representative Danny Davis, Democrat of Illinois.
I can continue to work with Anthony Wiener without a doubt. I can continue to work with him. He's one of the brightest, quite frankly, and one of the best minds in Congress. And so there wouldn't be any reason not to work with him from my vantage point.
Hmm. Does it seem like the tide is turning in this? It's like, you know, it didn't seem like even yesterday it seemed foregone conclusion he was going to step down. And now, I you know what it is? I think we have, like, scandal fatigue. We're just like,
whatever.
That's what I said, Jim. There's a new bar. It's like, was he impregnating a porn star on top of his dying wife in the hospital? No. Then,
or could it be
paying
so
prostitutes?
No. Or could it be that more people than you think engage in that very kind of behavior?
Exactly. Yeah, it's the new normal.
Like, seriously.
People are sheepishly
people
like,
people are sexting
so
and, you know,
yes.
You know, 14-year-old
I think
girls
that's
are,
way more normal than you guys think.
Really?
It's
those people who just don't understand. That's why I have an onion on my belt, to remind me not to post pictures of my willy.
Because every time I take a picture of it, the onion blocks it. That's why the onion
is
there.
It's a big onion.
Wow.
Okay. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Snark. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
One area where you could really increase employment is in energy production. The country is waiting to exploit oil and gas, and employment would really respond there. It's an area that already employs a substantial number of the population. And Obama and its administration, with its left-wing influence, has been holding all of that back. Not an act of God. It's not structural. It's the policies of this administration.
You're so full of...
They are drilling in the Gulf. Even after the BP spill, they are going to be drilling all over the damn place. They're continuing fracking, even though it, you know, it destroys the groundwater and causes small earthquakes.
Causes it to be flammable, which doesn't seem normal.
Water should not be flammable.
No.
Yes. Something I think I understood that in chemistry class. All right. Sean Hannity, who else see tonight?
You have more people thinking that we're headed not for a double-dip recession, but a depression. Nobody has confidence in the economy. All the indicators are horrible. Mathematically, won't the country gravitate to whoever gets the nomination? And how do you see the field shaping up for the GOP?
Well, if we got out of the wars, that would change a lot.
Yep.
If we got
Jim,
rich people like Sean Hannity to pay their taxes.
Yes. Maybe I'll mention that to him tonight.
Yeah,
thanks for the free ice cream. But you know what? How about if you pay your friggin' taxes so we can get out of debt?
There you go.
Yeah, I saw this poll, Jim. I thought this was very encouraging. 6 in 10, that's nearly 60%, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
of Americans up blame our overseas wars for the national debt.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, only 24% say, quote, increased spending on domestic problems has contributed greatly to the nation's debt. I mean, you know, I think people get it. Let's get out of these wars. Let's end these tax cuts for the rich.
And
keep
Medicare and Social Security.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. David, Assman.
Asman.
Uh-huh.
The 2012 Asman. Election should be a rout against President Obama, but Republican candidates can't seem to get much traction. We think it's the message. We don't endorse candidates here, but we do think Palin comes closer to echoing Reagan's call for a national revival of the American spirit.
We don't endorse candidates here, but we think you should vote for Palin.
If we were.
If we were to be some sort of, you know, arm of some sort of party.
I think you should
go with
that.
We're just saying.
Palin, 2012. Absolutely.
Wow.
Bachman Palin Overdrive.
And what does Assman have the privilege of being, Chris? He's the only person in Right Wing World I've actually had Christmas dinner with, because
he's part man and all ass.
He's my friend's brother, my friend that lived next door to me here when I lived in New York. That's her brother.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, Assman, pass the gravy. That's what I didn't say that. He's very nice in person.
That's what they all are. You know that.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sean Hannity will give me a big hug tonight.
Yep.
And then he'll say the same thing he says to me every year. Why do I like you? I don't know.
And then
and
you'll
I'll be like, why do I still hate you?
Yeah. And then you'll be meeting Laura Ingraham as well.
Thanks.
Tell those guys to stop doing that.
I don't sound like
it's
that.
It's really annoying.
I just you do that from the safety of your little L.A. studio, isn't it?
We're 9 hours away.
You're not going to have to talk to the Velociraptor in person later.
Yes, we're Yes, like Jim said, we're 9 hours away.
19 minutes after. I see what you did there. That's funny. Yeah. That's tragedy plus time. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson after the bottom of the hour.
I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. We only had her on once, and she's awesome from the great state of Texas.
That's right, from the Dallas area.
Yeah, exactly. And then Lisa Bloom, award-winning journalist, attorney, daughter of Gloria Allred, calling it to talk about Wienergate and her new book. So a big, big show as we merrily roll along here. Speaking of big shows, should we do, is Jim back yet?
Yes, Jim is.
Here. All right. Okay, then. Good. Then we can proceed. Let's finish Right Wing World, then. Rush Limbaugh.
Feminism is about victimization. Don't forget Undeniable Truth of Life, number 24. Feminism was established to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream. There's already sympathy attached to most feminazis anyway.
Oh, boy.
Always said that they're just... You know, trying to reorder human nature because how unkind it was to him.
Wow.
Oh, well, at least he thinks I'm a babe. I guess I've been spared
on some days.
Thanks.
She knows what I mean.
And other days.
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days, she knows what I mean.
And other days, I'm just a feminazi victim, I suppose, of my own unattractiveness.
Yes.
And radio, so unattractive guys like Rush Limbaugh could have a job and make millions of dollars.
Oof.
Can I take a moment to say, shut up, you big, doughy bonehead.
Pantload.
Okay. Yeah. You big, doughy pantload. Shut up about other people's attractiveness or not. All right. And we finish with Ann Coulter.
They openly brag about, you know, having the least informed voters. They're very upset that when Republicans and other people who don't want voters fraud request IDs simply in order to be able to vote. They want illegal aliens. They want felons. They want soccer moms. They want non-native English speakers. They have college kids. So, you know, they have the most easily fooled, naive, and perpetually alarmed members of the country as their base.
Didn't she vote illegally?
Uh-huh. Yes, she did.
Just saying. Wasn't there some little brouhaha down in Palm Beach?
And she just called soccer mom stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's...
Hockey moms, however, are brilliant.
Oh,
Sarah
of course
Palin.
They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Jim, did you see that story that Margaret Thatcher does not want to meet with Sarah Palin?
Yes.
Sarah Palin's saying, quote, because, you know, she's... Because I'm the most Reagan-y, you betcha, you know.
And I was so going to warn you about the invaders, the guns and the bells and the riding horse into town, because you're English.
I need to warn the British, like Paul Revere did.
God.
She said she wanted to meet with Margaret Thatcher while she was in England this summer.
Oh, good heaven, no.
Oh, good God! A Thatcher ally said, Lady Thatcher will not be seeing Sarah Palin. That would be belittling for Margaret. Sarah Palin is nuts.
That's
an official Margaret Thatcher
nuts.
Spokesperson. She's nuts.
That's awesome.
Nuts, as they say.
Well, then she must be an anti-colonialist. So they are.
Well, that, and I've heard that Lady Thatcher's not doing that well.
Yeah, but you'd think she'd be grateful that Paul Revere warned the British, for God's sakes. She would have some extended gratitude.
Damn it.
Sarah Palin.
Thank you for the gunshots and the bells and the riding.
The bells and things. Okay, that's funny. Oh, gosh. Rick Santorum discussed his Google problem.
Oh, he brought it up. Hooray.
Which just makes me happy. He said, unfortunately, there are vile people out there who do horrible things.
What, like Rick Santorum?
Google it.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him, if he thinks Google has any responsibility for the, for the indexing of his name. He said, I would suggest that they've done other things to stop this kind of vile activity and filth on the Internet, that they should apply it equally to me and everyone else.
You know what? They haven't, though. Google is...
Well, maybe you should stop comparing gay people to man-on-dog sex, and this sort of thing wouldn't happen to you, you big, frothy Santorum.
Pant load.
You pant load of frothy Santorum.
Oh, dude. Oh.
Enjoy your Frappuccino.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, speaking of the Google, did you see this? Tim Pawlenty, he has a better deal, Jim. That's what he calls it. It's a better deal.
Ah.
It's a better deal. That's what his budget is. It's a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
He, the
bridges?
You
don't need no stinking bridges.
No. The linchpin of his better deal is that he, what he dubs the Google test, he said if you can find a good or service on the Internet, then the federal government probably doesn't need to be doing it. The little hitch in that is under the Google test, quote-unquote, the government would no longer need to pay for U.S. soldiers, military weapons, FBI law enforcement, firefighters, food safety, road construction, arbitration, Social Security, or Medicare.
Oh,
but other than that, it's a Google test. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Better idea. It's a really better idea.
They obviously don't need to pay for bridges. You can find a bridge on the Internet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's clearly was his plan.
Move on to Lake Havasu if you want.
That's right.
It's been done.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, check in on jobs and the economy and a lot more with Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson from the great state of Texas next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tell you what, you ever want to have a meal with a grown-up, give me a call. And I'm as old as two 20-year-olds, so maybe it'll feel like a ménage à trois.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Joined now by Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, Democrat of the great state of Texas. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us again.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we obviously have this whole debate going on in Washington. Chris, give me Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, on raising the debt ceiling. Here we are again.
This is not a matter of spending. This is a matter of the United States meeting its obligations, not defaulting on its obligations.
And, you know, obviously you have your friend, your colleague Paul Ryan calling for the U.S. to default, essentially. What is that really going to be a realistic option?
Well, you know, it's such a crazy idea to think that we're willing to allow our country to go into default on money that has already been spent. We're not talking about money that's to be spent. We're talking about debts that we've made over the years that need to have the debt ceiling raised to take care of the interest and the financial obligations related to it. And, you know, it happens often. And most especially does it happen when we are suffering this kind of recession. You know, they didn't have any problem raising it under President Bush or President
right.
Clinton or
right.
the other President Bush. And so clearly it's a slam at our current president, unfortunately.
Well, Congresswoman, we've been saying this, that this is part of what annoys me about the media, is that's exactly it. Do you ever remember this being a story? We have wrote it to raise the debt limit how many countless times, as you say, under Bush, under Clinton. Why is this suddenly a story that they're able to have the, you know, drive the media with this so that, you know, you feel that you have to make cuts in order to raise the tax ceiling when that's never been tied together before?
It has not. You know, we're talking about cuts in order not to increase more debt in the future. But very honestly, the way we are cutting right now, that's all we're doing. We want more jobs, and yet we're cutting jobs every day, and we've done nothing to increase jobs. And every suggestion that's been made, primarily by Democrats, to increase jobs has been rejected by the Republicans. It doesn't make sense. And unfortunately, the public seem not to be understanding. I hope there's more understanding than what we're hearing about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it just seems like we keep having the same circular debate that you know, we keep talking about jobs. They talk about jobs, but they don't do anything about it. There's not one jobs bill they've brought forward. And then they keep saying that the only way to make jobs is to give, you know, these corporations and rich people more tax cuts. And has anyone ever answered your question on the Republican side as to why aren't they hiring now, since they have the tax cuts now and they've had them for however long, these Bush tax cuts?
They've had these tax cuts ever since Mr. Bush's the first 3 months of his office, and not a single job has been created. Jobs have continued to be lost, and the more we cut, the more jobs are lost. I hope that when I say no one seems to connect that, I hope I'm wrong. I hope people understand that the more of the forced cuts that we're doing without remedy, the worse we become, because the more jobs we lose. Look at our schools. It's all because of these cuts that we're losing teachers. We're losing schools, and we're losing opportunities for our young people to get an education. That's what these cuts are doing. Now, clearly, we do need to cut spending, but we must cut sensibly. We cannot just cut the poor and cut in those areas where we need the most. We have got to look at some type of revenue regeneration, and the only way we can do it is to have a fair plan for tax paying. We cannot continue to give all the tax breaks to our very wealthy, to give them all the loopholes that they need, and let them get richer and richer and richer.
That's right.
While we are really, really pushing our working and our poor people to pay for it.
Yep. Chris, give me cut six. Congresswoman, I want to get your reaction on how we, you know, combat these candidates for, you know, president in 2012, like Tim Pawlenty. Listen to this.
President Obama has had 3 years to turn things around, and all we have to show for it now is $3.7 trillion more in debt and climbing, nearly 2 million fewer jobs.
So, I mean, you know, the thing is, you can quantitatively look at this debt and go, it is largely brought to you by these wars, which the American people want us to get out of, and the Bush tax cuts for the rich. But they continue to pretend like this president ran up this whole thing, and that we weren't losing jobs a month when George Bush was president. And the president has turned it around. I mean, it's not obviously where we want it to be, but we're still adding jobs as opposed to losing, right?
You know, the miracle that's happened is that the president did not allow this country to go into complete default, When we bailed out the auto industry, he was criticized, and it now shows how much it has paid off. And we saved manufacturing in this country, which is what we need more and more of. If we're going to create any jobs, we've got to make something. We cannot buy everything made somewhere else and think that we're going to create jobs. It is simply not going to happen.
Yeah.
If we become as protectionist as what many want us to be by being totally anti-trade, we're cutting off jobs. We're not buying because our money is very tight. But when we are not buying, we must get someone else to buy our goods. If we don't have good trade agreements, they will not buy them. We have a large manufacturing company here, right here in Dallas in my district, called Mary Kay Cosmetics. Mary Kay is suffering, not because they don't have markets outside the country, but because the tariffs are so high that they can hardly afford to continue to send them out because of the tariffs. And one of the good examples is Mexico and how high their tariffs are. Until we straighten out issues of that sort, and you can only do it through trade agreements, we are not helping ourselves. And you never hear this conversation going on.
Yep. I didn't even know Mary Kay was still around. Let's not even talk about the gas money to fill up a pink Cadillac. That's
got to be some cash, right?
That's right. Mary Kay is offering women more jobs than practically any other company because they have a lot of entrepreneurs who are working on their own. But also, for Mary Kay to be functioning, and I'm not just talking about Mary Kay, but a similar type of company, in countries like Mexico, like China, they're selling their products if they can get them there through the tariffs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it seems to me like, a lot of Democrats coming up with a lot of these common sense ideas like that about creating jobs, whereas, the Republicans, they just have one play. It's just more tax cuts for the rich. How much more profit could some of these corporations make, and how much less tax could they possibly pay? Right?
Well, a very good example is the gas prices. Our gas companies are making record profits, and yet they think that because they continue to say the cost of gas is causing them to go up. Let's look at this. The gas prices go up when they think people are going to drive more, and their profits are soaring through the roof. And yet, they still have all the loopholes.
That's right.
They still get out of any responsibility for paying any additional taxes. No matter how much they make, no matter how much they gorge the public for more costs at the pump, you see nothing coming back from the gas companies but higher prices.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson from Texas, always so great. Appreciate your time, and talk to you again very soon, we hope.
Thank you very much. Enjoy reasoning with you.
All right, you too. There she goes. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson. It's great to see
you. You didn't know Mary Kay was still around?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
It's a huge, huge business still.
Yeah, gas ain't cheap for a pink Cadillac. Ask me on that. Ask Angeline.
Yeah, I don't know that they give away too many of those anymore.
It's not a Cadillac.
That's a Corvette.
A Camaro, I think.
Yeah, Camaro, something.
No, Corvette.
It's a Corvette.
Corvette,
oh. Yeah.
The important thing is Brian is in Chicago. Brian, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama and the Mooks.
Good
I
morning,
want to say,
baby.
First and foremost, I would not find a better way to spend my birthday morning. So thank you for
keeping
me laughing this
Yay.
Morning. Absolutely. Now, real quick, I can break down and end the candidacy of the top three Republicans in about 10 seconds flat. Herman Cain hates Muslims. Good luck explaining that. Mitt Romney wanted Detroit to go bankrupt. There goes his candidacy. Tim Pawlenty is a craven maniac who will say whatever he thinks people want to hear. There's your top three. There's no one left.
Right.
Now, yep.
I've been winning over independent voters for about 2 months now with a very simple argument. I would not go to a vegan butcher. I wouldn't go to a nudist tailor or a bankrupt financial advisor. Why would I trust somebody to run the government who actively tells me they hate the government and the government can't do anything right?
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. You're the smartest boy in class this morning. All right, Brian. Brian gets a little gold scar. Star. Bling.
Gold star? Scar?
Wow. Not sure. Ooh.
Star! No. Well, if I put it on too hard.
then you...
Sorry about that.
Like Yossarian getting his award in the nude.
Exactly. 45 minutes.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yes, I'm sleepy tired. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with more of the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, hitting a wall now. Close enough. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Why, Jim, what do you refer to? It was a lovely 9-hour flight from Los Angeles to New York. What's abnormal about that? There was quite the thunderstorm in New York last night, and so I went to Richmond for a while instead to sit on the runway for several hours. But other than that, I'm fresh as a daisy. I'm here in New York to be named Radio's Woman of the Year, certainly not based on today's show, but apparently some previous shows. I'm also, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm the cover girl on Talkers Magazine this month.
How about that?
Yes, thank you. Can they still rescind that after today's show? I'm not really certain. All right, I'm losing my voice, Chris.
So what time are you receiving your award?
That's not till tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The Talkers Convention is this weekend in New York City.
So you'll get at least an hour of sleep.
Uh-huh. Yes, I'm sure I'll I wonder if it's ever actually been taken taken back as you've been given it, due to your remarks after being given it. Wouldn't they just come and snatch it back?
We've made a terrible mistake.
Yes, made a grave error, and we apologize. Please give that to us. All right. In a continuing effort to work me to death, we announced today a second show for L.A. has just been added. Tickets went on sale just moments ago, I believe, at the top of this past hour. Tickets already flying out the window, I'm told. It is, when is that, October 21st?
Yes.
In Los Angeles, and we've added a Friday show because the first show sold out several weeks ago. There you are. So go to the, and then San Francisco, we was just announced today for October 29th, and that goes on sale 10 a.m. today, Pacific. Hit it, Chris.
San Francisco, be still your hearts.
I left my heart.
Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming out to you.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco, your favorite progressive hobbies are here to recruit you.
It does fit well with San Francisco. It's very diverse.
On October 29th, Stephanie Miller adjacent at the Broadway of the Bay Area, the Orpheum Theater.
Somebody did something big to get us here.
Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. Pacific and will be available online at shnsf.com. by calling 888-746-1799 or by visiting the Orpheum Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco.
Every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco.
Don't fault this show for shaking things up.
Hey!
Thank you, Shado! And also just announced today, July 9th, Tucson, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. So get tickets for that as well. Please, for the love of God, I will need...
At least San Francisco and Tucson are just a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yes, I will need advanced nursing care soon. Please help Mama. And also we give some money to great progressive causes in every city that we go to, so there.
You're going to need some doubles like Saddam Hussein, you know, just lookalikes. Yes. Come up and pretend to be you on stage.
Exactly.
I hope no one will notice.
Exactly. That's what I need.
While you're sleeping it off.
I need some stunt steps.
While you're sleeping it off.
All right, Chris Lafont, give me cut 7. We've been talking about Republican candidates 2012. How ridiculous is this? Oh, mittens.
It would have been best had the auto companies done that on their own directly, had gone through the bankruptcy process without having taken $17 billion from government.
Just let them fail. What could possibly go wrong?
Better.
Sure. Does he not understand that the government made money on that deal?
Yeah.
I know.
But really because we were paid back with interest?
Saved, whatever, at least, I can't remember the number, million, yeah. 2 million jobs, something like that. Yeah.
But if he's just looking at it from a strictly businessman's point of view, the government made money on that investment.
Uh-huh.
That was a good investment, and Mitt Romney is against good investments, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah, their candidates, wow. We talked about Santorum, is mad at Google.
Yes. Santorum,
they're the one
Google
that invited getting, you know, Santorumed. So he said he would support a constitutional amendment outlawing gay marriage if he was elected as president, because gay and lesbian relationships could destabilize the culture, rob children of the potential of having a mom and a dad, undermine religious liberties, you know, stuff like that. That's why.
God.
See, that's how he got into his Google trouble in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Gay sex.
Men a dog.
Herman Cain, the equally crazy Herman Cain, says he would be okay appointing gay cabinet members because they wouldn't impose Sharia law.
Okay. I guess that's
well, you remember
good?
He said he wouldn't appoint a Muslim to his cabinet, which that got him a little bit of trouble. That seemed a little...
As well it should.
Yes.
How about a gay Muslim?
Yeah, but I guess what he's trying to say is I'm a lot more racist than I am homophobic, really. So if you of the ists, if you're looking for... Yeah, he was asked if he'd be opposed to appointing a qualified gay person to serve in his cabinet. He said he'd having no problem appointing someone who's gay, and then he leaned in conspiratorially saying, well, gay appointees are not going to try to put Sharia laws in place.
His
main concern, the number one threat to America, obviously, to Herman Cain, is Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
So if the gays aren't down with that, then... Oh, wait, he has amended, Chris, this just in. Herman Cain would, he may appoint a Muslim, but they would be required to take a special loyalty oath. Saying they're not that Muslimy, you know, that they're not that kind of Muslim, apparently.
Reform.
So it's not like he's, you know, racist.
Yeah, they're just a whole bucket of racist and homophobic over there on the right, aren't they?
Could you take your organ
Islam
out for me?
Race.
Right. Well, it's Islamophobic is what they are.
Well, he doesn't mean white Muslims. He only means brown Muslims.
Ah.
Yes. Beth in St. Paul, this is on Bat Bleep Crazy Michelle Bachmann.
Mm-hmm.
And her, most importantly, her husband.
Okay.
Steph, you need to look at the website of Bachmann and Associates for the Christian counseling services provided by Michelle Bachmann's husband, Marcus.
I'm sure they're fabulous.
And his staffs at two clinics in the suburbs of St. Paul. Take a look at the staff rosters. Most of their web pages start with a Bible verse, and their credentials are truly questionable. I only see one or two at the Lake Elmo Clinic who actually got a degree from a credible social work program. The others, I don't know. Word on the Minnesota street is his outfit engages in gay conversions. Specializes in
men's
issues.
Into Muslims.
Men's issues, family issues, and the word sexuality never appears.
Okay.
We on the left really need to call this sham stuff out. We cannot fear being called elitist by pointing out when training for important and sensitive work like psychotherapy is substandard and when, is in this case, the counseling is just pastoral care provided by the laity of a fundamentalist megachurch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and it's proven to be very, very damaging. And,
well, of course. Yeah, in fact, Anderson Cooper has just been doing a wonderful series on, you know, conversion therapy or whatever, and, you know, the kids are committing suicide. Because they're told that they're bad people for having those thoughts, and
maybe
they can't stop having those thoughts, so they kill themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
But
he
did make his wife a lovely pantsuit.
I don't know what you're implying, Jim, and you are a bastard person for implying whatever it is. And furthermore, he hates your ass face for whatever that was about, that's not somehow manly.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
58 minutes after the hour, back or not, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it's The Stephanie Miller Show now on 1 hour of sleep and a lot more Chardonnay and completely incomprehensible. Enjoy! Live from New York after only a 9-hour flight through a thunderstorm and a diversion to Richmond and an hour of sleep. Hello! I'm Radio's Woman of the Year. I'm here to receive my Radio's Woman of the Year from Talkers Magazine, of which I graced the cover this month. Aren't I something,
Sud? Soon you're going to be on the cover of Broken Down Jalopy magazine.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That call is coming in as we speak, Jim.
Jack Benny's Maxwell.
Thank God there's no use to your stream camera in the studio, because, listen, even your cat wouldn't drag this in this morning. This is,
aww,
yikes. This is Don
heart.
De Los yikes. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the regular website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. I caved, as you know.
You did.
On the second show in L.A. And Roland, our tour director, says you better get your tickets now this morning, because the second show looks like it is already selling out within
It's already sold a huge amount of tickets.
Yeah, just this morning, since the second show, October 21st, went on sale. October 22nd, sold out. October 21st, just went on sale this morning.
Yep.
Better hurry. SexyLiberal.com to figure out how to get all your tickets. San Francisco just announced at 10 a.m. Pacific, San Francisco, the October 29th show will go on sale. And then this just in, Chris. What? Another one?
Tucson, looking to light up your sunshine factory? The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to set your mind aglow with their famous brand of progressive comedy.
Happiness, Arizona, where a man can walk down the street and have himself a drink without having to check the mirror and see who's gunning after him.
On July 9th at Tucson's Centennial Hall, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Talk Radio's Woman of the Year, Stephanie Miller, will entertain you with their deep liberal thoughts and comedy so wide it could fill the Grand Canyon.
We just want to hear the truth.
Tickets are available online at uapresents.org, by calling 520-621-3341, or by visiting the Centennial Hall box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Centennial Hall on July 9th. Sexy Liberals of Tucson, get ready to show those progressive papers.
Oh, yeah. Going to the old Pueblo.
Yahoo! All right, everybody. You know, Lisa Bloom is not only an award-winning journalist, television legal analyst, trial attorney, she's also the daughter of Gloria Allred, our buddy, our pal. She's here to talk about her new book and much more. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I am such a huge fan, Stephanie. I can't believe we've never spoken before.
Oh, wow.
I know. Me too, you, and,
terrible,
of course, of your mommy. I'm the biggest fan of your mom. I just danced to Poker Face at my birthday party with your mom not too long ago. The woman can clear a dance floor, let me tell you what.
She is a hot dancer, but I am really a huge fan, even though I'm only 5'5". Huge fan, Stephanie. So great to talk to you.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much. Me too, you. You got this great new book out called Think, Straight Talk for Women to Stay Smart in a Dumbed-Down World. But I want to, as you know, legal analyst and all that, first get your take on the Anthony Weiner thing. Because, you know, the breaking news where I am in New York this morning is he is saying he's not resigning, which... Yeah. Go ahead.
My take is, it's a big fat so what. I mean, look, what consenting adults do, I really don't care. 59% of adults say they have sexted. They've sent racy texts or emails. And it's between him and women who are, thank God, over the age of 18 and apparently consenting to the whole thing. I really don't care. Now, people say, well, what about the lying? Okay, the lying is not good. The lying is a big embarrassment for him. But overall, and this is what I talk about in my book, I think we are so obsessed with the sex lives of politicians and celebrities that it's really damaging us. There are so many other more important issues in the world that we so rarely talk about, because as a culture, we've become focused and obsessed with these kinds of silly issues.
Well, you know, you make this point that, let's be clear, he didn't cheat on his wife. I actually heard a couple of women call radio shows and go, I wish that's all my husband did. You know, and we were saying after Schwarzenegger, Gingrich, Edwards, it's like there's just a new low, isn't there? Like we were saying, the bar literally...
impregnate the housekeeper, thank God.
Yeah, unless you...
If my man did this, I'd be upset. But isn't this between him and his wife, who seems like a lovely, intelligent woman, and if she's decided she's okay, I really think we should all move on. I wish we had teams of journalists out there investigating his stand on health care. I wish we were all as conversant about climate change as we are about texts that he sent to consenting adults. I mean, that's my issue with the story.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's the thing. It's, you know, you're right. I mean, we're in such a gotcha cycle in politics, whether it's Andrew Breitbart or, I mean, you know, you're right. Are we ever going to be able to focus on real issues or get anybody that wants to do this?
Yeah, and here's what I discovered doing all this research over the last 2 years for my book, that 20 times as many American women read tabloids as real newspaper, that college women overwhelmingly could name more Kardashians than wars we are in.
So this
focus on celebrities and sex lives and sex triangles and strippers really is harming us. It's harming us as a nation because we're not focused. I mean, I think it's one of the primary reasons why we got into the Iraq war, because we weren't focusing on substance and what's important, and we allowed our leaders to do whatever they wanted to do, even though they were grossly off base. It's one of the reasons why we're not focused on climate change, which is shaping up to be the worst humanitarian disaster in human history. I mean, we're just not even looking. There's not even a debate. We're not even looking at these issues, and it's harming us.
Well, what inspired you to write the book in the first place? It once again is Think, Straight Talk for Women to Stay Smart in a Dumbed Down World.
Which, by the way, did I mention just hit the New York Times bestseller list?
What? Why, you did not.
In its first week out with my little indie publisher and no advertising budget, I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
What inspired me to write the book is I've been a legal analyst for about 10 years, and early on in my show on Court TV and on the other networks I worked for, CBS, ABC, CNN, I was talking about Saddam Hussein's war crimes tribunal and voting rights and civil rights and issues that were important with a little bit of celebrity stuff thrown in for color, and that's fine. But I discovered as the years went by that about 95% of what I'm asked to talk about are celebrity stories and sex stories. And it just seems to me we've gone off balance. So, I wondered, is it just me? Am I the only one that's concerned about this? And I did more research, and I discovered 25% of young American women would rather win America's next top model than the Nobel Peace Prize. That one in four would rather lose their ability to read than their figures. And when I looked more deeply at it, as I said, I discovered how damaging it is to women in our personal lives, damaging to our community and to our world. And so the second half of the book is a step-by-step guide to reclaim our brains, because when I would talk to women about this, they would say to me, my God, this is bad. I don't want to know more about reality shows than reality. Mm-hmm. I want to be smart. I want to have a more meaningful life. I want to be connected with my community. Tell me what to do to get back on track. So that's the second half of the book.
I would like to reclaim my brain. I'm not sure Chardonnay will give it back at this point. But my point, Lisa, is... Now, we all have mentors. In my case, there was a very feminist icon by the name of Gloria Allred. Maybe you've heard of her. Who were your mentors? Because, I mean, seriously, your mom was like a feminist, icon and hero of mine.
Absolutely. Well, you and I share that. And, I talk in the book a lot about my mother at the beginning, how she was so inspirational to me. She never cared about my nails or how I was decorating my apartment. What she cared about were my ideas and contributions. And we would have discussions about political issues. And she'd play devil's advocate to make sure that I really knew what I was talking about. I also talk in the book about my dad, who people don't know because he was a reclusive hippie. But he was an obsessive reader. And he knew everything about everything. And you know how you have that moment when you find out your dad isn't all that smart? Well, that never happened to me because my dad was a genius. He's gone now. But so I grew up with these sort of brainiac, eccentric people who were obsessed with ideas and facts and knowledge. And really, I never gave that up. I raised my kids the same way, and I talk about that in the book. But my parents really were my inspiration, both of them.
Well, and, your mom's scrappiness is what I love best. I think she had the line of the night at my birthday party. It was right after the Meg Whitman campaign went down, and she said, Meg Whitman spent $30 million, and I spent $5 on this chart, and I took her down.
She is scrappy. She follows the facts. She does all her research obsessively, and when she gets to her conclusion, that's it. Everybody else be damned.
And
she doesn't care if people attack her. She doesn't care if people don't like it, because she knows that she's right.
And she has integrity. You don't know how many times I've asked her to call someone just to say Gloria Allred's calling just to scare them. She won't do it for me. just because I just want to, Gloria Allred on line four for you. Ah! Anyway. And then I play that sound effect. So what do you hope, people get the most out of the book, Think, Straight Talk for Women to Stay Smart in a Dumbed Down World?
I've gotten emails from women all over the country that just blow my mind about how it's changed their lives, how they realize they've been too obsessed with some of this fluff and silliness, and they want to get back to meaning. They're going to read more serious books. They're going to help out at the Battered Women's Shelter. They're going to help third world girls go to school, which is one of my big missions. And I hope that we get a return to substance, that we turn away. I guess my goal would be that that news sources that talk about serious subjects get flooded with viewers and readers, and that the tabloids shrivel up and die because they're damaging. They're so demeaning to women, too, by the way, with, you know, circling women's body parts and making fun of them for being too fat or too thin or having bad plastic surgery. I mean, is this really the people that we want to be?
I have a confession to make. I'm on the plane, and I have my, you know, political things and my books and my New York Times, and the girl next to me had some tablet, and I was like, oh, so-and-so has cellulite. That is great news. Can I look? And I had to go, stop looking at that. Go back to your New York Times.
And 95% of their readership is female, and that's why the book is directed towards women. And yes, men are ignorant, too, and men need to get back on track, too. And I'm probably going to write a follow-up for men because a lot of people have asked me that. But there are very particular issues for women about how we've gone off track. And look, bottom line is, I don't think it's terrible to read these things once in a while, but it's a question of balance. I mean, if you know more about the Kardashians than you know about what's going on in your local, you know, city council, then your life is out of balance, and I think you should have your vegetables before you have your cake.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and speaking of being a legal analyst, I blame OJ for the Kardashians. We wouldn't even know what a Kardashian was. Just one of his other many crimes, Lisa.
Because their dad, Robert Kardashian, was an OJ lawyer?
Yep.
Yes! Otherwise, yes, we would never have been infested with this Kardashian outbreak.
Well,
all right.
I don't know about that. I bet most people who watch their shows, and I don't actually have anything against the Kardashians, by the way. It's just that, you know, the focus all being on them and not on serious issues in our world.
Right.
Is my
it's just what,
I'm sure they're very nice people.
Yes, it's just what are they and why.
And what are their contributions other than looking nice and marrying athletes? I mean, I want
to tell you what,
our contributions and our ideas, not just on what we look like.
I'll tell you what their accomplishments are. They're not Snooki, and that's something in this world. Lisa
yeah,
Bloom
did you
is...
know that Snooki got paid more to address Rutgers College than Pulitzer Prize winner Toni Morrison?
Yes.
I mean,
wow, I'm just
going to say it all.
I'm going to hit myself in the head with something hard now.
Don't
Lisa
hurt
Bloom...
yourself. You only had 1 hour sleep.
Yeah.
Lisa Bloom is the author of Think Straight Talk for Women, to How to Stay Smart in a Dumbed Down World. Lisa, thanks so much. A pleasure. So nice to finally meet
Stephanie,
you.
Thanks, Stephanie. You rock, girl. Aww.
Kiss your mommy for me.
Okay.
All right. And there she goes. Lisa Bloom.
Yay. She was lovely.
She's awesome.
And she really is a chip off the old block.
She is. Oh, my God. She looks just like
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she does.
Blondish hair, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Awesome smart. All right, I'm done. Speaking of which, I am going to collapse in a little heap now. Mooks, it's time for
what?
You to take
Wait
over
Wait a minute.
The mama now.
You're giving it to us 10 minutes early than what we agreed.
That's all right. I frequently don't stick to my promises. And you're used to that with me. Mama has to go collapse because I have several Woman of the Year radio thing event type situations to go to. So I'm going to let the Mooks take over, which is always highly entertaining because I have no control over them when I'm here.
And,
when I'm
and we have no idea how to do radio. So,
yeah. So listen,
and
good
we
luck.
Probably have no calls. So,
yeah, listen, 1-800-STEP-12, help the Mooks out. Help
I'm
Mama out.
Load up the lines.
All right, Sexy Liberal, Facebook, sexyliberal.com. You better get all those tickets going fast. I will be whole again, I promise, and see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, now 100% less Stephanie.
Hooray! We finally got rid of her!
Welcome to the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
That's
here
right.
In the treehouse.
That's right. We're pulling up the ladder. No girls allowed.
Except Rebecca.
We kind of need her.
And girl callers, too.
That's
be
right.
Very helpful.
Yeah, 1-800.
It's all dudes on the line right now, though.
You're right.
That's
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, at 1-800-STEPH-12, 1-800-STEPH-12. Give us a call and help us out here. So why don't we just go to...
I always forget how to work the phone machine.
Here, I'll do
after
it.
Once every few months, Stephanie collapses in a heap and we have to take over the show. And I forget completely
like
how to run
it. It's like once every month now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Harry in Colorado. He says that Obama hasn't created one single job.
Really?
Really?
Harry, I promised him in line.
We didn't talk to him.
What?
Hello, Harry.
Hello.
Turn down your radio.
I don't even have it on. I don't know what you're listening to.
I don't know what you're saying, but you're not talking to us.
But we're talking to you. I was talking to somebody else that was next to me. It wasn't my radio.
So, well, you should be listening for when you answer the call. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, I guess keep putting me on hold because you're concerned that I'm a conservative. But I like to.
We took you first, Harry. What are you complaining about?
No, you curse. I've been on hold for goddamn forever. So I can't okay. Wait.
That happens in radio, Harry.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
it's a conspiracy.
Rush Limbaugh put you on hold for 3 hours.
That's what we did. We kept him on hold so we could choose him first and put him at the top of the front
okay.
of the line. Okay.
Another Republican complainer. Go ahead, Harry.
One job that Barack Obama's created since he's been in office.
Well, first of all.
Yeah, the president doesn't directly create jobs. You do know that, Harry, unless he's hiring for his own executive branch.
Listen, Bush, to that, you tell me one thing Barack Obama's done since he's been in office.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look, when George Bush left office, we were losing over 700,000 jobs a month. That he did turn that around.
Yes, he did.
Now, we're still at net job loss, but it is going
because
in the right direction.
Yes, because we, your hero George W. Bush put us in such a horrible recession, we're still digging our way out of
George Bush inherited a surplus. We had peace and prosperity, and everything was just ducky, and he trashed the whole thing.
Yep, he sure did.
At his inaugural address, the first one, he said, we got this here surplus. That means you're paying too much tax. So his first goal was to get rid of the surplus, and he sure as hell did.
Yep.
Do you want to hear the truth? Or do you want to sit here and create lies?
Okay, what are your lies, Harry?
Chris Dodd and Barney Frank created this. Letting people that couldn't afford homes.
Okay. Yeah, blame the black people. That's it.
Yeah, so you're blaming the black people.
Bunch of black guys.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks, Harry.
The same crap over and over and over again.
Yep, okay, let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I was looking at the whole Newt Gingrich thing, and I got the impression it was like a family gathering with his campaign. It was a big family gathering, and everybody was playing the piano, who did a very good job. So he played a Beethoven etude. And then along comes Mr. Gingrich, and he plays Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. We're all supposed to get equally excited. He wasn't the least bit serious about this at all, but he's dancing in the corner yelling, "I'm still relevant, I'm still relevant," and
frankly,
nobody believes him.
Yeah.
Look how relevant I am, frankly.
And so his entire top echelon of his staff just up and quit.
What's your point, frankly?
Yeah, which is awesome. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour break here. We got much more of your calls coming up. 1-800-STEP-12, 1-800-STEPH-12. Give us a call. Help us out. It's Jim and Chris in for Stephanie for the last half hour on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, I'm
Stephanie Miller,
and I'm over 200 years old, but I'm feeling fine. But I sound like Mason Adams.
Was that Mason Adams?
No, but he's doing that kind of voice.
Right.
But the name like Smuckers, it's got to be good.
34 minutes after the hour, this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minus Stephanie.
Yeah, it's just the mooks today.
It's the mook show.
Yes.
Because, well, you got a problem with that?
Because Stephanie was on a 9-hour flight to New York from Los Angeles.
3-hour tour.
She was diverted to Richmond because of thunderstorms and didn't get into New York City until about 1:30.
And she's an insomnia. She doesn't sleep. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So she decided to leave for the last half hour of the show and leave us in charge.
Yeah,
so,
that was a mistake.
So please give us a call at 1-800-STEP-12.
Otherwise, it's going to be a conspiracy corner for the last half hour.
Some people might want that.
Yeah,
hey.
I know they do.
Okay.
Let's see, who we got here?
Let's go to Tony in Ohio. Tony, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Hey, listen, as long as Steph is gone, we can all sit around in our underwear, scratch ourselves, and watch NASCAR.
Yeah.
What makes you think we're not doing that already here?
Well,
in the
studio? All right. Speaking of wieners, actually, on a very serious note, as a lifelong progressive, I was really, really disturbed when Clinton handed the Republicans a huge scandal on a golden platter and completely derailed our agenda.
Sure, we all were.
And Wiener has done exactly the same thing, and that kind of self-indulgence
You really think this rises to the same level as Bill Clinton, who was the president of the United States?
Given, yeah, no, it's not really as serious, but they're going to make everything they can out of it.
Sure, yeah.
And I think if Wiener really wants to take one for the team and make a sacrifice, he could sacrifice his political ambitions and let us move on.
Well, I see your point, but I mean,
he's been a tremendous advocate, but still.
And he won't be as effective now, obviously, as he was before, but yeah. He could still do a lot of good work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The thing is, if it weren't for people like Vitter on the Republican side who are having fundraisers in D.C. while all this Wiener stuff is exploding, I might tend to agree with you. But
also, as it happens, I do have a thought about David Vitter.
Hmm.
I have always enjoyed hearing that penalty box horn, and I've worked very hard to get it as many times as I can. Yes, there you go. Thank you. You beat me to it. I will say one thing for Anthony Weiner as opposed to David Vitter. At least Anthony had his big boy pants on.
Yeah, well, also, what Vitter did was illegal. He frequented prostitutes.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
What Weiner has done, you know, as far as we know so far, is not illegal.
It's
just
illegal.
Creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just creepy.
Yeah. Creepy and embarrassing.
And, you know, Caesar's wife has to keep her nose completely clean, and I think progressives have to hold themselves to a much higher standard.
But do we do that?
That's the problem.
Yeah,
though.
Do we do that, you know, at our own detriment?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a tough equation. I mean, you balance it. You weigh it, Wiener's effectiveness since this scandal broke versus...
But also you have to look at what the Republicans are trying to do to this country. They're trying
they are
deliberately trying to crash the economy so that Obama will lose.
Yeah.
And that the consequences of that might be irreparable.
Yeah, and if we do the math and we say that Wiener in will help us more than Wiener out, then we keep Wiener.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. I did not do that on purpose. Terribly sorry. But, wow, that's a good one.
Just don't mention kitty cats of any kind right now.
No. I would like, however, for America to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tony in Ohio. All right. Let's take another Wiener call. Let's go to Steve in Los Angeles. Steve, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Jim. Listen, if Gloria Allred were just listening to that interview, you know, with her daughter, she'd be pulling her hair out about this guy, Wiener. Gloria represents these women who are victimized by these sexual predators.
Yeah,
and, you know, this is what Wiener's been doing. Well,
no.
It
appears that it was consensual, and they were all over 18. So
and he doesn't have power over them. That's what sexual harassment is.
How can you have consensual sending of sexual pictures over the internet and Twitter?
That's what happens.
It doesn't happen.
Yes, it does. It happens all the time, though.
Yeah. You know, and these women are apparently complaining out. There's a victim, and you're not looking at that.
Well,
and I think
no.
Wiener right now, he's lied to President Obama. He's butting heads with Pelosi. The guy is a real distraction in Washington, and he's going to bring the Democratic Party down.
I don't think so.
He's not going to bring the Democratic Party down. You're giving him way too much credit there.
No, trust me. He is a national, he is an international distraction, and as much as I like his policies, and I like his politics, and I'm a liberal Democrat, the focus is too much on him.
Well, it is now.
This is Stephanie Miller Show as well. We're giving
this is not going to last that many more news cycles, I don't think. If he's going to lay low and still be an effective congressman, not as effective as he was.
He's going to go away. He needs to step down. I'm sure that there are other liberal Democrats in New York that could step up to the plate in his district.
Well, they need to have an election.
He's going to be districted out of his district because New York is going to be losing two congressional seats.
Right.
So,
in my eyes, the sooner the better.
All right. Mm. Okay. Well, thank you for the call, Steve.
When David Vitter resigns, I'll consider that. But that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. Dave in California seems to think that we have a problem in our culture. We don't read newspapers. Hey, Dave.
Hey, great show, Mooks. Really enjoyed. You guys are doing a good job.
Thank you.
I'll comment real quick. The right winger, open your eyes, guy. Obama's created all kinds of jobs, and he's saving the economy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jeez, come on. As far as Anthony Weiner,
he's not sending jobs overseas like President Bush did and Governor Romney did.
Yeah, exactly. And if we would have gone into that big lie called Iraq, I mean, could you imagine what we could have done with all that money?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jeez, I mean, it's ridiculous. And Wiener needs to stay. I agree with you guys. It's going to blow over. What happened was consensual. He's effective. It's nothing compared to any of the Republican scandals. They're the biggest hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, my original point, your guest talked about, she talked about people aren't informed. People don't know what's going on in city council.
Lisa Bloom, yep.
People are not reading newspapers.
That's true.
You can get a newspaper for pennies a day delivered to your home, which is one of my part-time jobs, by the way.
Right.
It's a thankless job. I'm sorry.
But I spend 6 or 7 hours a day reading news sites. I don't read a single newspaper.
Yeah.
A lot of people just read their news online.
Right, and go paperless.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a lot of crap online, too. You know, any idiot can write a blog. But
every once in a while you'll find me on Us Magazine's website.
Right. But, but you can get some legitimate news sources from around the world that won't necessarily land on your doorstep.
And so do we really need to read newspapers
anymore?
I
like to read Der Spiegel in German.
But a lot of the people, like, you know, I'm you know, in my late 40s, a lot of, like, even my coworkers say, oh, yeah, I could get that online. I could, you know, I could download, I could get online, but they don't. They don't do it. Or I could get that story about what's going on in all the San Bernardino scandals, which is a very red, red area, and it's all, you know, all kinds of corruption going on there. Or I could have gotten that, but they don't look at it. Unless it's right there in front of them. A lot of people they're just not informed, and you've got to be informed. Politics starts local. Become informed with what's going on in your city first, and you know, we're so celebrity-drawn society.
Right. Yeah. Well, a lot of people are busy sending pictures of their genitalia online, so
that is a problem.
There's no time to read news.
Dave, thank you for your call. Let's go to Eric in Minneapolis. Hey, Eric, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks. Hey, Eric.
Hey, I think they got the wrong city, guys. I'm in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, hey.
Close enough.
Okay. Hey, Eric in Boston, what's up?
I'm headed to Minneapolis next week. Hey, guys, I just wanted to, I watched a lot of the president's speeches and events, and one that really sticks out in my mind was last year, or early, I think it was probably in April or May of last year, that healthcare summit that the president had with the Republicans. And if anybody watched it, I mean, he absolutely schooled them on every policy, every issue.
Yep.
And as a Democrat, I can't wait for not only the election, I can't wait for the debates. I mean, the Republicans obviously have a bully pulpit right now, and they can call him a Marxist and whatever if there is out there that they've been calling him. But when it comes down to it, they're going to pick a nominee, and they're going to have to go far right. And the middle of the country and obviously Democrats aren't going to go along with it. So I can't wait for the debates. I can't wait for the election. And the president, when he's going head-to-head with Republicans, I think he's got the upper hand, especially with 4 years of economic, domestic, international experience. I think he's got it. I think he's got it in his the ball's in his court for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the problem with and thank you for your call, Eric, but the problem with debates is people don't watch the actual debates. They watch it filtered through the 24-hour news channels, and a lot of people watch Fox
Sound bites,
News.
Right.
And so they watch so Obama could win a debate, but Fox News will tell you that the opponent won the debate.
They'll cut out all the...
And that's what people will believe, which is unfortunate. Speaking of Obama, Diana in Illinois wants to talk about him. Hey, Diana, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks.
Thank you. Let's change the conversation.
Okay.
Let's start telling people that they better start writing their congressmen and every congressman in the House and the senators in the Senate, because the what we're talking about, they ran on jobs and they're not producing one bill to create jobs. And we're going to lose Medicare, and we're going to lose Medicaid, and we're going to lose our Social Security if we don't wake up, because these guys are just obnoxious.
Well,
and everything that does squeak through, the Senate filibusters, and I don't think people understand what a filibuster is. They think about
Jimmy Stewart
right.
And some guy standing up there. All somebody has to do is say they object to something, and then it's tabled, and then it doesn't get presented. And Mitch McConnell should have you-know-what cut off of his body. Because he has absolutely destroyed any jobs bill that did pass last year, and that Nancy Pelosi pushed like 400 bills, and they couldn't even get presented in the Senate.
Right.
Wake up. Everybody better wake up.
People are waking up, though. I mean, people are being polled on the Republicans' policies, and now that they see what they really are, they don't like it at all.
Watch Wisconsin. Look at the guy in Michigan. he is like a little Caesar. He can, if he doesn't like what's going on in a township or a school board or a county or whatever, he can just appoint an administrator, mm-hmm. and all those elected officials who were elected by the people are null and void, mm-hmm. and he's trying to run Michigan like that.
Yep.
And if we don't watch ourselves, we're going to have the same thing federally.
We'll get, yes, we'll right. get Edward G. Robinson as president.
Yes.
Yeah, see? Right, your God now, Moses. Yeah.
Yay, Jimitations, Jimpersonations. All right. We're going to take a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show, but we will be back. This is Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie sitting in for Stephanie Miller, who decided to leave for the last half hour because she's tired.
Because she's dead tired.
She's dead tired, and she's receiving an award and all of that. So we'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
A little Marky Mark to send you into your weekend. Hey, you don't get enough Marky Mark on talk radio these days.
I don't get enough Marky Mapo.
Huh? Who? Huh?
Never mind.
Or Marky
That's
Post?
A reference from the 60s,
oh,
which you wouldn't remember.
How about Marky Post?
Oh,
bring it up into the 80s. All right, this is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie has stepped away from the microphone, and you got the mooks for the next 10 minutes or so.
She's
so
probably in a puddle of her own spit right now on the floor of
right
the studio
on
in New York.
Fifth Avenue or something. Yeah. All right, so give us a call. 1-800-STEPH-12, 1-800-STEPH. 1-2. Let's go to Wayne in Portland, Maine. Hey, Wayne.
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, not Wayne.
That's my personal thing.
Sorry about that. It says Wayne on our screen.
That's okay. It's really fine. I understand completely.
The D is silent.
I was wondering if you guys could tell me what the hell is wrong with the Beltway media and people like Chris Matthews, who's been foaming at the mouth over this for about a week. And the Democrats, who completely sell out their own at the drop of a hat every time some Republican runs around and says, oh, now you're supposed to hate this guy. Get rid of him. We don't like him. David Vitter has been protected by these people.
Uh-huh.
And the Beltway media is just going insane over a sexting thing. This is ridiculous. Actually, pun intended.
Very
good.
Yeah.
No,
you're absolutely right.
And this thing, as we were saying, this is very prevalent right now, people doing this sort of thing online. I mean, it's what's going on now. It's like the party line of today.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
And again, it was consenting adults. They were all over 18. It was not sexual harassment. It was icky and embarrassing.
Yeah,
yes, but
it was not illegal.
Right.
You know, it's what a lot of people do to flirt nowadays, mm-hmm. unfortunately. All right. Vicky in Tucson says, yes, Obama has created jobs.
What?
Hey, Vicky.
Hi.
Are you coming to see the Sexy Liberal Show?
You betcha.
Awesome.
I didn't say that. Actually, I didn't say you betcha.
Well, that's July, and I'm a little concerned about Stephanie flying in because it's monsoon season in Tucson.
Oh, boy.
Nice point.
It's pretty bumpy coming in.
Yes, it'll be fun. So what's on your mind, Vicky?
Well, he did create jobs, and mm-hmm. by virtue of loaning the car companies the money they needed to stay afloat, he staved off 3 million losses in jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the newspaper said the other day that one of the big three, I don't recall who, is going to add 2,500 new jobs.
Uh-huh.
This was not a bailout. It was a loan.
Right, and they paid it back with interest.
Yeah, there's an example. And as far as him saying, oh, well, let's trade lies, poor deluded Harry. the Federal Reserve did a report, and more than 84% of the subprime mortgages in 2006 were issued by private lending institutions.
Exactly.
You know, they were the ones that were issuing all these subprime loans. It had nothing to do with Chris Dodd or Barney Frank.
Right.
It goes to derivatives and you know, all of that stuff that the banks were playing patty games with each other.
Obscure financial instruments.
And unfortunately, that's a whole lot of stuff that the average American just doesn't know a thing about, so it's a lot
easier. It's much easier to blame it on poor black and Hispanic people taking out loans that they couldn't afford.
And that's what the conservatives use to make a good soundbite.
And the corporate media.
Those loans, those community reinvestment loans, were about 8% of all the loans that were issued. They were minuscule.
Yeah, right. And when they went to smaller local banks, they did very well. It's these gigantic, too-big-to-fail institutions that caused all this.
Oh, yeah. Those loans were paid back. Very, very few of those people defaulted on their loans.
Right, yep.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Vicki. Those are some great points. Let's go to Linda in Florida. Linda, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks. Hey, Linda.
Hi. Oh, good morning, you two. I just love you. You make my day when I'm out here delivering mail.
Oh, thanks, Linda.
What's up? I just wanted to, that conservative that called in, I suggest that he kind of inform himself on what's really going on in the world.
But they don't
Rolling
do that.
Stone has been writing some great pieces on this, the fear and fear of Fox News, and how the Wall Street wives took $220 million, mm-hmm. went and bought houses with it.
Right.
You know, and they're blaming it on the poor black people.
Exactly.
You know, it just, you know, they're uninformed, and they're the target that Roger Ailes is going for.
Mm-hmm.
Smear,
mm-hmm.
fear, hate the minorities, hate the Spanish, hate the black. And this guy doesn't understand how much our president really has done for us, and he's kept every promise that he said he would.
Mm-hmm. There's been some great political reporting in Rolling Stone. Yeah.
Tell him just pick up a Rolling Stone. Matt Taibbi's in there. Naomi Klein's in there. Get mm-hmm. informed, dude. This is the 20th.
Exactly. Yeah, Linda. Okay, along the same lines, Wanda in Chicago wants to talk Obama and Jobs. Hey, Wanda.
Good morning. I think the Democrats need to spend a lot more time emphasizing how tax cuts do not create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make it very simple for the Joe the Plumber type. Tell the Joe the Plumber, okay, say, for instance, you have this business. What's going to make you create more jobs? A demand for your goods or services. People are not going to demand your goods and services when their incomes are stagnant.
Exactly.
So that's the only thing that's going to create more jobs is a demand for goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
Rich people getting tax breaks, they're not creating jobs out of the goodness of their heart.
Right. They're keeping more of that money for themselves.
Exactly.
Right.
They buy another yacht.
They're not going to create a job. So I think that's something that needs to be emphasized more, because even for the Joe the Plumbers who think that they will one day be in that tax bracket, which we all know is not a reality,
mm-hmm.
if you break it down to them and explain to them how their incomes are stagnant while everybody else's incomes are, you know, the top 1% is exceeding and there's no way you can ever reach this, I think they may at least back down on the tax breaks. You know, if they could just give up the tax breaks. I mean, I hate everything they do, but that's the biggest thing that bugs me.
Yep. All right. Thanks for your call, Wanda.
Yeah, I'm sick of them talking about the job creators. Well, if they do create jobs, they're overseas.
Yeah, they're creating, sending them
in
overseas.
India and China.
All right. Pam in Seattle is going to close us out here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Pam.
Hi there.
What's up?
Oops. Ooh, that's interesting.
Ooh, that's
Wow.
That's
what
really
happened
weird.
There.
Okay, let's go to Dawson in Maine real quick. Hey, Dawson.
Yes. Hey, guys. You guys are doing a great job over there.
Thank you.
Listen, that Haley guy, that conservative guy, he's from wacky Sarah Palin land.
Yep.
And they're going to go to the White House website and try to get them to change it after I announce what I'm about to announce.
Okay.
But that was something that Bush campaigned on. It's called America's Home Ownership Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can Google that, those three words. They'll see the official White House website outlining the whole strategy.
The Ownership Society. Yep.
5.5 million minorities, putting them in homes. Didn't matter if they didn't have enough money to make a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
They put loopholes in there for that.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed the teaser rates with the flexible arms.
That's right.
Right.
They did a lot of stuff to deregulate this mortgage stuff. Just for the fact that they could push this mandate,
yep.
which they wanted
exactly.
to obviously get the black voters and make it look like they were trying to be heroes and stuff.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah,
you
you're absolutely
sussed
right.
it out.
Yes.
Hey, if you're in the L.A. area, come see me with the Bruce Sanborn Band tonight at Complete Actors Place in Sherman Oaks.
Awesome.
TheBruceSanbornBand.com.
Yes, and congratulations to Stephanie Miller, who is Talkers
yes.
Magazine's Woman of the Year.
It's her turn.
Absolutely. And so we will see you with her on Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.